The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, where can you have a weekend of fun for the whole family? Entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all? Where can you savor local seafood delicacies and eat muskrat? Cooked the old-fashioned way. I'll tell you where. The 77th National Outdoor Show. Friday and Saturday, February 23rd, 24th, 2024. That's at South Dorchester School. That's what it's called. 3485 Golden Hill Road, Route 16, Church Creek, Maryland. You will be glad that you've made the effort. Admission is only $8 for adults and $4 per child. It's home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship, and you're now in muskrat country, the heartland of sportsmen and trappers, watermen and wildlife. We're proud to show you the best that comes from our boot-sucking marshes and the flowing water that surrounds them. Most of all, we hope to share the unique spirit and character of our hard-working people, who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in our traditional old-school ways. Enjoy the heartland of Maryland, Dorchester County, Friday, Saturday, February 23rd, 24th. See you at the 77th National Outdoor Show. For times and details, please visit nationaloutdoorshow.org. Welcome back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show. This is Alan Ellis. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we have an upcoming guest here shortly. He's a charter boat captain, vice president of the Charter Boat Association. His name is Jason Seaman, and he'll be on the line just shortly. Just got a text from the lovely bride. She said, "Thought I was scared to death you were sleeping through the show." No, baby, I've been on the air, been up since 4:30, getting everything ready, made a pot of coffee, which I will now slurp again. For our listeners. And I know some people love it, some people hate it. Dogs are out. Open the door of the back door. They're out in the backyard doing what they do. They'll be back shortly. Shortly before the break, I had two of them on my lap. Can never remember. Bernedoodle, who weighs about 50 pounds, and then the little Cavachon, who weighs about 10. So I had two dogs on my lap. It was a three-dog night because the other one was over here laying on her bed. And there come the two little ones, and the big one's coming pretty soon. So we will be joining Jason Seaman right now. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Sure. Yeah, I'm the owner of Maryland Fishing and Hunting, but I'm also the vice president of the Maryland Charter Boat Association. So my topic is a conversation are typically all things rockfish, unless they're blue crabs in the state of Maryland. So.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about rockfish. Yesterday, the official word came out that the Maryland has adopted the emergency regulations for the upcoming season. Regulations are good for 180 days. We know that Maryland has a proposal in front of the AELR committee, the Emergency Regulations Committee, which failed to act on those Friday a week ago.
Right.
Has there been an AELR meeting rescheduled to talk about these?
Well, actually, it happened yesterday.
Oh, so they did do it. Okay, good. Yep.
Yeah, and so we testified yesterday in Act of Conservation, and what had happened was they elected to close the first 15 days of the season, or motion to that, for trophy season. So for this year, there will not be a trophy season.
Right.
So the pitting and topic of conversation for all things Straight Fest this spring has been the juvenile index and the fact that the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission thinks we're in a state of rebuilding, and we have all thought that there needs to be more baby fish in the Chesapeake Bay, essentially.
So you said that is a point of everyone's agreement. There needs to be more baby fish in the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a conservation, yeah, that absolutely is a topic. Yeah, and I think everyone agrees on that. Though that right now we have visual observation of the spawning stock biomass, which the fish are fishing on right now. There's an abundance of them. So we have a tricky situation on our hands.
Explain.
So the spawning stock biomass is the adult fish. So that's the fish
right.
that actually has your juvenile fish.
Right, right.
So
right.
So there's an abundance of those, and that's what anglers participate in the wintertime fishing on.
Right.
Or commercially or what have you. So we have that in the Chesapeake Bay right now, but every year our recruitment has been down. So
of course, yeah.
So that's what's
yeah.
throwing a red flag to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Right. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but you brought up an interesting point. You got a massive amount of fish out there ready to spawn,
mm-hmm.
correct? All right.
Right.
But the index is down.
That's right.
But we're also fishing on them. We're putting tremendous fishing pressure, or at least enthusiastic fishing pressure, on these fish that are ready to spawn. And I don't know if you participate in that fishery or not, whether you do or whether you don't. Long-standing history with this show when they first implemented the early catch and release season. If you remember, it was, you know, in the Upper Bay, mainly it was the Susquehanna Flats and so forth. My opposition has remained unwavered because we do not know, we have not studied, what is the effect of catching and releasing pre-spawn fish. What is the effect on the spawn? We know that mortality is fine, but we don't know what happens to that fish internally when they go through all that pressure. What happens to that big cow rockfish when she's fought, brought to the boat, even if she's released in the water, even if she's not hoisted aboard and, you know, held up for a photo or anything like that? What happens to that fish to affect the spawn? Anything, nothing, something in between? Do we know that? We don't know that, do we?
That's right. And that was my testimony yesterday. Anything above a zero effort is that we're affecting the spawning class of that fish. And because of that, you know, we wouldn't want to disturb any pregnant species and expect that it was going to be to its benefit. There's no way. I wouldn't want to do that to a human being. There's no way I want to do it to an animal. So
right.
by doing that, if we're in a state of emergency truly and we're putting more restrictions in place on Maryland waterways, why are we not giving them their best effort, especially during, like, the month of March? And that was a topic of conversation yesterday. That's when 90% of your spawning stock is reproducing. And we still have areas in the tidal tributaries that are open to catch and release. So
I know. That's what I'm saying. There are people putting undue pressure on these fish. And one of the worst techniques for these pre-spawn fish or spawning fish is the trolling effort. I mean, I don't like trolling for rockfish anyway. Okay, I mean, I'd sooner wait till the summer season and catch them another way. But the trolling thing, to me, is unexciting. Even though the fish are big, it's just not exciting to me because you're basically dragging the fish in, you know, with mouth open, water going through the gills. I essentially think, personally, personal opinion, that you're drowning that fish on the way in. And
yeah.
even if you release it, it cannot have a good, and it swims away, it can't have a good effect on it.
Yeah, I mean, when we troll on our boat during
sure.
the for-harvest season, we reduce gear type to give our anglers a good fight. We're not; it doesn't feel like dragging a bucket behind the boat.
Right.
But we do predominantly fish with light tackle. We also fish, I mean, I do have jig and rod, so I am a light tackle fisherman.
Sure.
The problem is, even with light tackle fishermen, and you do increase your gear type, you bring the fish to the surface in a quick time period, you still are causing lactic acid buildup. You're still causing stress and duress on that pregnant fish or egg egg bearing. I always say pregnant to make it more human.
But yeah,
you're putting more stress on that adult fish. And
right.
so if we agree that okay, recreation or more fishing mortality is less in the wintertime, and some studies that indicate that it's 1.6% instead of 9% is the realized mortality on average by Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. But if it's 1.6% and out of 100 fish, let's say at the bare minimum you have a 500,000 eggs per spawning fish, well, you just killed 800,000 potential striped bass in the state of Maryland. So that's not good. That's not a positive. So it's not an attack on this is not an attack on catch and release fishermen or the people who have those business models or share that. It's really a fact that if we don't get a handle on this, we're going to have further restrictions, and it's going to keep spiraling down and hopefully not get to the point where it's going to be a state of moratorium.
So right, right. And we've been there 5 years of no rockfish.
Right. So it's not – we don't want the most frustrating part about this is it feels like everyone's pointing the finger at one another. And it's not a good way to find a resolution.
Right.
That makes any sense. Have to work right. together, but you have to make efforts on all sides to do that.
Of course. That's good. That's good to say. By the way, we can agree on the term gravid. If you'd like to, not use pregnant, gravid would be the appropriate tone. But that's okay. Yeah. A lot of people know understand pregnant and may not understand gravid. So I get it.
Yeah, it's just even when people mishandle fish, there needs to be effort put in place to actually how to handle fish. If you hold the fish by the gills and you hold it upright, you have to realize that fish has never seen gravity before.
Right, so exactly.
A suspended effort in water, when you take it out of that, it's in a state of shock.
No question.
When I harvest fish for my customers that is sushi grade, if they like to do that, we put it on a piece of foam because we want to displace the weight of the fish so he feels calm. It's the same principle and concept. I can't imagine a fish that's 40 pounds, you holding it up, and what that fish is going through.
Right, right. Well, it'd be like sticking your hand in somebody's rib cage and, you know, lifting them by the ribs with their lungs exposed, pretty much.
Right.
You know, to whatever weather condition it might be, and if it's freezing out or near freezing, you know, what are you doing to the fish? You know, that's the question. For what? For a fight and a photo op?
Right. Right. So it's a lack of understanding of that. But, you know, if you do it, okay, just do so with conscience and moderation. You might not want to catch 100 of them. You may want to choose to respect the fishery more and do so by not targeting a pre-spawn fish. Maybe
good.
As an adolescent. You know?
Good point. Or if you are going to target a pre-spawn fish or a spawning fish, okay, in the catch and release season, set a goal and say.
Yes, set a goal and hopefully don't lift them out of the water.
Right. I want to catch one quality fish today. I want to have a fish of the day, not the fish of my lifetime, just the fish of the day. Okay, and then figure out how to release that fish gently, how to fight it quickly and release it gently and leave it in the water. And you know what? You can take some great photos. Your face won't be in them, but you can take a great photo of a fish in the water and say, hey, look, we estimated this fish at 25 pounds. We estimated this fish at 40 pounds. And we let her swim and, you know, didn't stress her out by taking her out of the water, sticking our mitts in her gills and lifting her up and, you know, taking a picture. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely, yeah.
I think we're on the same page here as far as being conservation-minded on our great state fish, the striped bass. Because, look, the restrictions now are going to cost a lot of people for hire a lot of money. Okay?
For sure.
Yeah. So, and maybe including yourself, I don't know. But, you know, people are going to go, oh, I'm going for one fish, that type of thing, and I'll wait till they come back or whatever it might be. But, you know, we got to this point by not being as conservative as we could be. And guess what? We don't have to rely on the state to set the rules and regulations. You don't have to catch a limit. If you want to go trout fishing and the limit's six, you don't have to catch six. to accomplish something. You know, you can go home with three if you like and have a great meal.
Yeah, we've had a lot of customers. I mean, we fish on a, or in previous years, we fish on a two fish per person harvest limit.
Right.
And some people elected not to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's and my business has been based around that harvest based business model. And it's the reason behind that is we always wanted to limit release mortality in warm water months or throughout the calendar year. We fish primarily on a 6 month season. And
sure.
We never wanted to fish an overabundance on, catch and release,
right,
for bait or cut bait or even trolling or what have
right.
you. We felt we always felt as an industry that fishing with catch and release in excess was not good for the fishery. So that's why the charter boats would elect to move to a subspecies after they caught their striped bass. The problem is, there isn't a whole lot of attractive subspecies in the upper Chesapeake Bay because that's the state fish of Maryland. So that's why this is why it's so important.
Are you adapting? Are you adapting to any other fishing this year? Given the limitations on the season, are you targeting, for example, perch or blue catfish or anything else?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the summer months, we'll do that, but we'll target bluefish and Spanish mackerel, and we may even venture into the drum fishery this year. So that will have to be something that we gauge our business towards. We want people to have a good time on the Chesapeake Bay. We just don't want to do it in excess, and you know, we don't want to yank on them all day long just for the fact of mere doing that. We have to bring people back there tomorrow, and we want everyone to enjoy the fishery, even if it's the person beside me recreational fishing.
So yeah, I got you.
Not,
good.
So it's frustrating though, because Atlanta State's Marine Fisheries Commission could have acted to take a greater effort towards conservation, but they elected to choose an option where it targeted Maryland businesses. We took a 15.9% reduction by going to a 19 to 24 inch fish. That was the commission's suggestion, and one fish for all. But instead of electing to take a 19 to 23 inch fish and two for the for hire sector, we took 2% less of a reduction. We could have had a 17.9% reduction. And that's what's been frustrating about this. And
all right, wait. Put that in. Not in percentages. Tell me what you mean by that.
Okay, so last year, via electronic reporting, the Maryland charter boats harvested 101,000 striped bass. To give you perspective, commercial will be around like 1.4 million pounds. Recreational will be almost 2.5 times that. So we elected to make a decision based on conservation to go to a smaller slot limit, and we also targeted the for-hire businesses of the state of Maryland who only harvest 7% of the total catch.
Okay.
So we think it's a two-for-one. It was sold as you're cutting it by 50%, but you're clearly not.
Right.
You're acting to target the business owners and the people who have guide licenses or title fish licenses or established businesses in Maryland. You think that you're making an act of conservation, but it's really the minority that you've put.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the privately owned boats and people that fish on privately owned boats take 2.5 times the amount of fish that commercial fishermen take. That's what you're saying.
That's what the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries is saying.
That's what they're saying. Okay. So the private guy out there fishing, and I've got a lot of friends that do that, are harvesting 2.5 times not what the for-hire industry, not what the charter boat guys are catching, but what the commercial fishery is catching.
That's right, through release mortality. So that would be catch and release and harvest. That would be everything. So
everything.
If you go out there and yank on them all day long, even if
right.
it's in the wintertime or the springtime, it's all tabulated into that data.
Right. I got that. Okay. So those are some impressive numbers if people are following along. Private boats, 2.5 times the commercial harvest. Commercial harvest, how many times the for-hire harvest?
Well, the commercial's in pounds, but it would be... Well, we would catch roughly 400,000 pounds if you did rough fish math.
Okay.
So it's greater than three times, you know, obviously.
Okay. So the charter boat for hire industry, 400,000 pounds of fish. Commercial, 1.7 million pounds of fish.
1.4, yeah.
1.4 million pounds of fish. Recreational, private guys, number pounds per fish?
Estimated close to 6 million.
6 million, okay. Yeah. And what you're saying is the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries focused on, A, the for-hire, and, B, the commercial as the largest cuts as opposed to the recreational.
Yeah, so we dropped our slot size. So when you drop a slot size by 7 inches from a 30, you know, we had at one point in time, you know, you're going, let's say your max size is 31 inches, now you're going to 24. So
Right. Inevitably,
there's going to be more release mortality from that.
Right.
To what degree, we don't know yet.
Right.
The commercial fishermen also took a cut. It was a 7% reduction.
Right.
That needs to be noted. So that was 7%. But for hire sector or the charter boats of Maryland, we took a 50% reduction.
Right, because of the one fish limit. I got it.
Right.
All right.
But we're the smallest player.
The smallest player took the biggest percentage hit. Understood.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Got it. All right. Well, this has been extremely enlightening to our listeners. I hope that you listen now. And by the way, folks, these shows are all available on podcast going way back. EllisOutdoors.com. WCBM keeps them for a month or two, but Ellis Outdoors keeps them in perpetuity on the website, EllisOutdoors.com. And you'll click on the podcast button, and it'll take you right there, and you can see any show back for years and years and years and years and years. So anyway, there we are. Jason Dixon, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch with you shortly here. We got some publications coming up, and I know you worked with us in Maryland Loves Crabs last year. I hope that worked out for you, and we'll be in touch soon. And thanks again for joining us, and always great to talk common sense, and it's always great to talk conservation, and it's always great to hear the different points of view. Thanks again.
That's great. It's great.
All right.
And, hopefully we all share the Chesapeake Bay together and support Maryland businesses.
Name of your business and your charter boat.
Oh, Maryland Fishing and Hunting. You can find us at MarylandFishingandHunting.com. My charter boat's the Marylander.
The what?
The Marylander.
The Marylander. Yep. I was going to say Maryland something, but I knew. Okay. Marylander it is. All right. Listen, Jason, hope to get to go fishing with you this year.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Alan.
Take care, Jason. Thanks for calling in. All right, there we go. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to comment on that or anything else, you're welcome to do so, but it's time for me to tell you about Backyard Billy's. That's for sure. Backyard Billy's is the place. Listen, it's cold. It's going to get colder. It's going to get colder before it gets warmer. And now's the time to take a look at alternative or even primary heat for your home. Do you have a beautiful fireplace that you never use? Well, we had one, too, and I'm looking at it right now. I can't imagine sitting in this room, not having redone it, sitting here trying to do a radio show and looking at a blank fireplace, you know, some crappy-looking brick around it. Nope, I'm looking at a beautiful hammered metal frame and a flame coming up out of that firebox. It's gorgeous. Heat in the house, the fan's on, nice stone background, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful job, and I owe it all to Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. You know, we shopped a bunch of places. We were all over Delmarva looking for a gas fireplace insert. And why'd we go to Backyard Billy's? Because they had them. And we walked in not knowing anything other than, you know, kind of what we wanted. And they walked us through the entire process. The price was great. The installation was spectacular. They even recommended a fellow to come and do all the stonework up behind the fireplace. Put the hearth in. Put the mantle on. I mean, it's just gorgeous. They did the chimney work. They did the entire installation of everything I needed done, is what I'm trying to say. And a lot of choices. We chose the EX35 gas fireplace insert. Why? Because it looked nice. It worked great with the remote control. It keeps us nice and warm. We put it on auto when it gets cold in here, and we want it set to 71 degrees, and it gets below that, fireplace kicks on. It hits 71, it kicks off. We don't have to touch it. Don't have to do anything. It's great. Yep, Hearth America at Backyard Village did the installation. They provided us since with knowledgeable follow-up and service, friendly folks, good prices. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop by the showroom. You'll be ready for that cold weather. If not anymore this year, then at least next year. You know, it's going to be here. It's going to be here every single year, that cold weather. So visit BackyardBillys.com, the Hearth America Facebook page, 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, coming from the bridge in Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. Now look, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne or Halethorpe, just off Beltway exit 9. If you need live bait, they've got live bait. If you need any kind of trout bait or any kind of small bait for perch, yellow perch, white perch, trout, any of the small fish stuff, they've got all that. If you need the big fish stuff, they've got all that too. They've got the terminal tackle, the hooks, the lures, the bobbers, the weights. Oh my goodness! If you just want to go fishing, they've got rods and reels. They've got replacement line. Walk in there sometime and take a look at their great selection. You will be glad you did. It's fishing time, crabbing right around the corner. They're getting that stuff ready too. And don't forget their big Let's Go Fishing sale, March 1st through the 10th, where you can save money, get your line put on your spools at half price. We'll give you more about that later. But right now, I want to give you the overview of Clyde Sport Shop. If you need to find a Browning firearm or any firearm, any handgun for personal or self, you know, personal or home protection, they've got those too. And they've got the advice to go with it. So a lot of handguns, and they sell a lot of firearms as well. Rifles and shotguns, specializing in Browning because they are your full-line Browning dealer. Clyde's Sports Shop, 410-242-6108, 242-6108, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, open 7 days a week. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. You'll be glad you did. Let me tell you about Spurry's Tire Service. I like talking about Spurries because they're such good dudes to deal with. They really are. I mean, you know, you go on a busy day, you're gonna feel that because they're just that busy. No question, but we love them. Spurries Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 in Easton, where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. Why? A, they have the products. B, they have the knowledge, and C, they've got great prices. Why would you buy anywhere else? They don't charge you like a dealer, I can tell you that, and they know just as much and have everything. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama if you need it. Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make, any model, from teeny tiny to tractor trailer. And Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard to your barnyard, your garden tractor to your farm tractor, all the farm machinery, all the backyard stuff you use too. If you own a trailer or an ATV, any kind of trailer, any kind of ATV, Spurry's has the tires. Spurry's offers tire repair on the spot sometimes and full service automotive repair. They'll check, they'll diagnose, they'll repair your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. If it's got it flashing, bring it in, they'll take care of it. They can diagnose it on the spot. Their 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurry's customers, that would be me, that would be Robin, that would be our family, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by, no appointment needed for tires. Spurry's Tire Service, phone number 410-822-7384. 822-7384. Visit their website, spurriestire.com. No appointment needed for tires. 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service. We will be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex Fleet Services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Line it. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Fran, wrap it up tonight. So get ready. I mean, get ready. Are you ready for some football? A Monday night party. We got Frank and Al and Dan. They're gonna get it kick started.
Oh man, all right. Enough of that. I have enough football coming up tomorrow, that's for sure. Good grief. I know you didn't have San Francisco and Kansas City. I got that, and I like Frank Jr. doing the Monday night thing anyway. So that's kind of a throwback, but very apropos for this weekend. Thank you, Aaron. So, all right. So, personal update. How am I sounding? No coughing, no sneezing. Yep, went to the doctor's this week. Got myself a nice antibiotic. Found out what was going on. Found out that I had a, I guess, more or less a sinus infection and everything else, which I thought was bronchitis, coughing up all this stuff. Said, no, your lungs are clear. Everything's coming from post-nasal drip. So I got an antibiotic, and I got some quote-unquote cough pills, whatever that is, nasal spray. Everything sounds great. I'm really enjoying the way I feel right now. That's good. Personal note, the heat went up January 18th. We tried some local talent. We got a local company, and they came in, and the estimate was, shall we say, untenable. So our buddy from Aircraft Heating and Cooling, Fred Reinthaler, came down from Baltimore. They were working on Gibson Island. Hey, dog, I'm trying to talk here. This is not your show. This is my show. No. So stop barking. Yes, stop barking. Thank you. Okay. So Fred came down, and They took a look and they said, I think we can repair your compressor. So we'll try it. We ordered a compressor. We're going to have the compressor replaced. The rest of the system seems to be working okay. So Fred's going to come down and take care of that for us. And we greatly appreciate your efforts, of course, Fred, and Aircraft, AIRE-CRAFT. Anybody in Baltimore that needs some work done, you guys are the best. And Fred is a fisherman, a crabber. He's a blue cat fisherman, a snakehead fisherman, a cobia fisherman, a crabber, a hunter, and among other talents. So we really enjoy talking to Fred and seeing his pictures when he sends them online too, or you know, via text, going out there and on Chesapeake Bay doing some crabbing early in the morning. We'll get a text and it's from Fred and it's a beautiful sunset or something like that. So it's, or sunrise or something like that. So cool. All right. 410 WCBM 680. We've got a little bit of time left. We're going to have to take another commercial break somewhere along the line. But any comments on what Captain Jason Seaman had to say about the rockfish, about conservation, about any comments on the Department of Agriculture coming up with a deer management plan? You know, I went to a meeting several years ago. It was a formation of the 15-year plan, deer plan. It was in Annapolis. Farm Bureau was represented, and I spoke to the folks in charge of the meeting at the time. They asked if there were any questions. I put my hand up. I said, I have a question. Yes, Alan. Will the agriculture community have a larger voice in the 15-year deer harvest plan than they have right now? And the answer was yes. So that was it. We knew it. We knew it was coming. So I'm glad to see this plan come together, but I would like at their annual meeting next year in Ocean City or wherever it might be, that they would take another look at white-tailed deer and rescind or reverse their declaration, which it still stands, that antlerless white-tailed deer is considered by the Maryland Farm Bureau as vermin, V-E-R-M-I-N, just like a rat, vermin. So please reverse your stand on that before you can have a, have a voice as far as deer management is concerned. Tell us they're not vermin. Tell us that they're the most valuable wild game species in Maryland. Tell us that our hunting economy is based on not only waterfowl, but deer hunting in Maryland, whitetail and sika deer. Tell us you're going to stop slaughtering them at night. Okay? Tell us you will stand for some type of reduction in your crop damage permits in exchange for allowing hunters to take more deer on your property and more access. 410 WCBM 680. Let's see who we got on the line. Joe in Parkville. Good morning, Joe.
Yes, good morning, Alan. I tell you, I just was fascinated to listen to the statistics.
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, but it's a weird thing to try and figure out all of the numbers, and I'm glad that I'll be able to listen to the podcast to double-check them. But I also want to say I remember when they put the 10-year moratorium on rockfish.
That was 5 years, but I do too.
Well, they put a 10-year moratorium on it, but they cut it out at 6 years, I think.
Right, okay. You got it. You got it right. Yep. And how many of you think Governor Schaefer did that?
I don't remember. No. I don't remember who did it, but
Harry Hughes.
Okay.
Right before Schaefer came into office, Schaefer had to ride it.
Okay.
And I interviewed Willie Dawn at the state fair. I had him on recording somewhere many, 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 many years ago. And I said, you're lifting the moratorium on striped bass. Do you think that fishermen want that? He goes, I don't care what they think. I mean, 14. Thank you, Governor. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Oh.
I got to tell you, though, that man was a very nice gentleman to talk to.
No question. No question.
I walked up to him at a table one time. He was in a little diner. And I said, I don't want to interrupt your dinner, but I just wanted to say hello and say thank you for some, because I live in and around Baltimore here. I moved here from down in Montgomery County. But and he was most gracious, and I asked him a question. I said, because he was out of office at that point, but we had Ehrlich had come in.
Yep.
And I said, so what do you think? I don't want to put you on the spot, but what do you think of Governor Ehrlich? And he says, oh, he's a nice man. And he says, and his wife is a lovely person. You know, he didn't. And I told him I wasn't going to put it out for broadcast or get him in trouble on it. You know,
Yeah, sure. I got it. Yeah.
But
well, linking back to the Bob Ehrlich days, Bob Ehrlich's Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources was a gentleman that I met back then. His name is Ron Franks, dentist from Ken Island, that area, Queenstown, fly fisherman, fly angler, a great artist back in the day, and he's also my father-in-law.
Wow.
How about that? Yeah. How about that? I'll be seeing him today, 82 years old, suffered a series of strokes about 12, 13 years ago. Mind sharp as a tack, although he's being betrayed by his body. But it's always good to see him and always have a nice conversation with Doc, as they call him, as everybody calls him. So we'll be seeing him. He lost his sister-in-law a couple weeks ago. If you remember, we attended a funeral of football coach Jerry Frank's wife, Lois, who passed away. Now that's Ron's brother, and we'll be seeing Jerry and Jerry and Ron today, both of them. So
yeah. Well, Alan, I'll tell you, I personally think I'd like to have a transplant. I want to be transplanted from the neck down. Although there are people who say that my brain isn't that good either. So
yeah, well, you know, it's circle of life, buddy. Circle of life. You know what I mean?
But the moratorium on rockfish was so effective because they didn't try to pick and choose. And the second thing I was going to say is that every so often, especially when they start complaining about the crab harvest going down, I think
it
might only take 2 years of a crab moratorium. And I know how hard that would be for the crabbers and
oh, sure.
But it might rebound to their benefit, because I remember when the rockfish started coming back, and wow.
Oh, yeah.
But we started to try and slot this and slot that, and sometimes, and it's just me, I could be wrong, but sometimes I think they try too hard to nitpick, and it's kind of like the usual thing with government regulations. They try to fine-tune it so close, and then somebody else is always finding a workaround behind it, which means it doesn't
work.
There's
no question. It's very complicated with striped bass because they are migratory. You know, they come in here, they spawn, they leave, they go up the coast, and you've got other states impacted by the Maryland fish. Then we have the ocean run fish that come in here in the fall, and you know, and they're all fished on every state they visit. You know, New Jersey, New York, and on the way up to New England, and then you know down the Carolina coast and so forth. And they're fished commercially, they're fished recreationally, they're fished charter boats, captain. And you got the Atlantic States Marine Fishery. I think they have 13 jurisdictions under their umbrella. And they try to manage this fish for everybody. The biggest exception to that is Maryland, because Maryland is the estuary. We're the spawning grounds, you know. We're where they come to breed to supply the rockfish to everybody else. So, you know, it's very, very difficult to manage this fishery. It's difficult. I always ask the question about charter boats. Now they have a term for them, which is for hire, which is probably as easy as anything else. But are they recreational? or are they commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the charter boat captains invest a lot of money in their boats. They charge to take people fishing. The recreational guy pays to go fishing, whether it's, you know, on his own boat or whatever it might be. And then the commercial guy, he's just out there, you know, with the nets or hook and line season, and he's trying to make a living selling the rockfish. So it's a very utilized resource here in Maryland by a lot of user groups.
Yes,
you know, and to try and balance that and tiptoe that tightrope between the three user groups, well, very difficult.
That's very difficult. Like the crab situation, in some respects, and yet we've also got the Virginia people that set their limits. They've got the dredging down in Virginia, which seems, especially when it's a small return.
The female harvest far exceeds what it does here in Maryland as far as Virginia is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing that people don't understand about crabs, okay? And I don't think they do. Okay, they know what a Jimmy and a Sook is, and they know what a doubler is, and they know they breed, and they know they shed, and they know they spawn, but they don't know where the baby larvae develop.
Yep.
Off the coast.
Yeah.
Miles out in the ocean is where the crabs actually give birth. Miles and miles out in the ocean. Okay, so those little baby crabs that are all started here in the Chesapeake Bay, bred here in the Chesapeake Bay, have got to figure out how to make their way back home. And if you've got an errant tide or a storm off the coast, or, you know, the Gulf Stream goes astray or something like that for, you know, a week, you could screw up your crab population here in Maryland for years.
Wow. Well, plus you also have... if there's a heavy set of rains because of the sediment brasses and
no question,
it's a complicated thing. It's just one of the reasons why I say I don't begrudge anybody. I'm not against anybody, and I like crabs as much as the rest. But the thing is maybe 1 or 2 years of laying off of them would do a big benefit to.
Yeah,
but it might. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I will tell you, if you're buying crabs for the Super Bowl right now, you're buying Louisiana crabs.
Yep.
And you're paying premium prices because their harvest is not that great right now. They're anywhere I'm hearing prices anywhere from $350 to $550 off the truck. That's the wholesale price. Per bushel. So, if you're looking at $100, $110 a dozen?
Yeah.
My recommendation is do what we did. Go get 2 pounds of crab meat, make a nice crab dip, and enjoy.
I was going to say, the other thing is that, boy, those Japanese have come up with some fancy versions of almost crab meat made out of pollock. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah, no thanks.
Just as good. I know it's
No thanks.
That may be anathema to even say.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Japanese are going to put a lot of highway workers out of business.
Oh.
Out of a job. They have invented a shovel that leans on itself now.
Pardon me. Thank
That's
you.
That's all right.
I tell you what. God bless you. God bless Robin. And all you guys out there fishing and hunting, enjoy yourselves as best you can. And keep at it as long as you can.
Thanks for the call, man. Have a great day.
You do the same.
See you later. Bye-bye. Hey, look, folks, one more time. Supplemental heat, you know, it's great when you need it. Just like we love this back room because, you know, the heat's out in the house. Well, not out, but we're on emergency heat, so we cut the thermostat way back. We spend a lot of time back here, and our gas fireplace makes up for it. We're very comfortable. And we got it at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. It's an Enviro EX35. It's got a remote control. It can be an automatic. I had the door open for the dogs a minute ago. Dogs went out. They were out in the yard. Door stayed open for a few minutes. It cooled off a few degrees in here. Fireplace popped on. Now, once it hits 71 degrees in here, fireplace will go off. It's an automatic system. Or we can control it through remote control. We can control the fan, the light, the size of the flame, or anything else. We love it, and we got it at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's right there in Kent Island. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries Enviro like ours and Regency brands more so than others. If you need a gas fireplace insert, a pellet stove, a wood stove freestanding, a wood insert, a pellet insert, gas insert, they've got it all at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, depending on your needs. You can heat your whole house with your wood stove if you want. You can heat your back room with an insert. Why not? It's great investment. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Backyardbillies.com is the website. Hearth America has a Facebook page. The phone number, 410-827-4500, 827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B. That's Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Hey, if it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace, and you'll be glad you did. One more time, I want to tell you about the National Outdoor Show. 77th National Outdoor Show coming up Friday and Saturday, February 23rd, 24th, at 3485 at South Dorchester School, Golden Hill Road, Church Creek, Maryland. That's Route 16. Just go out of Cambridge on Woods Road, Route 16, go past Blackwater, and you're well on your way heading towards Golden Hill. $8 for adults, $4 for child. Weekend of fun for the whole family, entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all. You can savor the local seafood delicacies or even have some muskrat cooked the old-fashioned way. It is the home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship and much, much more. Enjoy the heartland of Maryland, Dorchester County. Friday, Saturday, February 23rd, 24th, 2024. I'll see you at the 77th National Outdoor Show because bucks, bears, stags will be there measuring great white-tailed deer, sika deer. Hopefully we got some great sika deer to show up. Maybe a new state record. You never know. But for more information, it's nationaloutdoorshow.org. Please support our sponsors. Go see what they've got. Check them out. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. Send me an email if you want two tickets to the National Outdoor Show. National Outdoor Show tickets for the 23rd, 24th. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. I'll send you a pair of tickets. That's it for us, folks. Get out, stay out, stay safe. Shoot a goose today. Love your family. We'll see you next week.